Now the Srimad Bhagavatam is the, as Prabhupada called, Krishna book. It's the book of Krishna. It's the book of Krishna conception. This is the book understanding which we'll know who is Krishna, what is Krishna, and how to properly approach Krishna. In the beginning, they have to, there can't be a running commentary by children. Later they will give their commentaries when they get older. So in that book, it says, Dharma prochita kaita bocha paramo nirmat saranam satam. Nirmat sarja satam. The satam here means the devotees. As we told Srila Saraswati Thakur explaining the harmonist, he referred back to the Sajjan Toshini of Bhaktivinod Thakur. And there, if we break it down, Sat Jan. The Sat Jan means the Sat Jan. Who are they? Sat means the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is not Krishna alone, means Radha and Krishna together. Right? And their divine pastimes and loving exchange. The Sat Jan are those who belong to them, heart and soul, who are wholly given over them. They know no other existence. Their very lives, everything is an offering in service to Krishna, particularly Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, which in his Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam, Srila Guru Maharaj reveals, saying, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gift to the world. This is the substance of Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness movement. What is that movement? It's moving in the service plane. Seva mayoyam loka. The world we aspire to is a world full of seva, service, dedication. At present, we're in the world of exploitation. Right? We're told, suffering from heart disease, hridrogam. Right? So, the sadjan, Saraswati Thakur said, sadjan toshini means the attempt to please those who are Krishna's own, who belong to Krishna. And we're told that is the devotional approach, and that's better than so-called trying to please Krishna directly. We have to recognize, as Srila Guru Maharaj says, jiva is an impoverished shakti. No wealth of our own to offer. But he gave some hope when he said, just as a girl, if she marries a prince, whoever she is, and we see it even in the modern world, some girl marries a prince, she becomes a princess. By dint of that connection, by dint of Jiva's connection with the devotees of Krishna, she gets a position and what we could say was in a seed form, innate wealth becomes expressed and divine loving service. So the Sajjan Toshini means to please them. Saraswati Thakur also wrote, Vaishnavi Pratishta Tate Koru Nishta. We're not concerned with the opinions of the people in this world. Said, but what are we concerned with? Vaishnavi Pratishta Tate Koru Nishta. What the Vaishnavas think. Therefore, when the Vaishnavas say, you know, how are you? The answer is like, as you keep me, how I'm conceived of by you. That's my position. Srila Prabhupada used to always sign his letters, your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. your ever well-wisher. I mean, under all circumstances, I am wishing well for you. You'll find yourself in many different circumstances in this life. I'm always your well-wisher. Whatever I will tell you will be for your benefit, what is ultimately beneficial for you. Right? That is guru, that is the friend, that is the devotees. There are ever well-wishers. They want to bring us in connection with the lotus feet of Krishna through divine service. So, the Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, the book of Krishna, says in the beginning, if you were to properly conceive Krishna, you cannot be envious of his devotee. And Guru Maharaj said, this is the real test. Because in our finer moments, we can think, all right, Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He owns, controls everything. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of God. Everything's meant for his enjoyment. Okay, I get it. He is the supreme. He is the infinite. We're the infinitesimal complementary aspects of the infinite. When the man said to Saraswati Thakur, then what is our position? And he said, you have no position. Not even nothing. No. But Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, that person who owns everything, is controlling everything, behind every event, is your dearmost friend. So at least this we can understand. But Guru Maharaj said, the real test will be, though, is toward the devotee. How do we see the devotee? How do we feel about the devotee? So it says, nirmatsarja satam, non-enviousness. That's the negative way of expressing. Right? Not to be envious of the devotee. Positive side is to appreciate the devotee. Not only be non-envious, but what would be the positive aspect is appreciation. To express appreciation for them. So, Where do these ideas come from? Just someone made it up along the way? Or Krishna, he should know. He's saying in different places. And one place, what does he say? Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta chatur jana mad bhakta. I forget the rest. But he's telling Arjuna, it says in Adi Purana, Krishna's saying, those who are apparently my devotees, I say they're devotees of Krishna, directly my devotees, those are not my real devotees. Saraswati Thakur, when he was in South India, inevitably in some town, they would meet with the leaders of that town who are inviting and are making so many arrangements for the programs. And some man would be introduced as a great devotee of Krishna. There is Mr. So-and-so. He's a great devotee of Krishna. And Saraswati Thakur would say, and under whose guidance is he proceeding? And then I'd say, oh, no, directly. Not like that. Directly devotee of Krishna. And at the time, Saraswati, being a gentleman, Prabhupada used to always say to a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman. He, oh, acha. But later, he would tell his disciples, he has no devotion. Who's being introduced as being a great devotee has no devotion. Why? Under whose guidance are we proceeding? So Krishna, this comes from Krishna, he's saying, those who say they're my devotees and they're directly my devotees, those are not my real devotees. But those who are devotees of my devotee, they're my real devotees. That's the secret, according to Krishna. Because without Krishna, without Radharani, without Srimati Radharani, as Gurumar said, he said, Krishna, he said, that's half Mayavad. Without Radharani, Krishna is Brahma. Not very attractive. Right? As Suk and Shari, when the two parrots are singing and the males say, oh, Krishna's, you know, Jagan Mohan, so beautiful, bewildering everyone in the universe with his beauty. And Sari, the female parrot, saying, yes, but he only has that type of full, true beauty in the association of Radharani. He said, but Krishna's Madan Mohan, he's so beautiful, bewildering Cupid. She said, yes, but with Radharani, otherwise he's bewildered by Cupid toward Radharani. So what is her position? So when it says, not envious of the devotee, that's a general thing. What devotee? Well, we'll say, well, any devotee. All right. But then we hear from Rupa Goswami, there are different gradations of devotees. Third class, second class, first class. And then what about the supreme devotee? How can you be a devotee of Krishna if you do not appreciate the supreme devotee of Krishna and do not give recognition, glorification to her? So Vishwanath Chakrabarti tells us, Sakshad hari tena samasa shastri uktastatabhav jateva sadhi kintu praboya priya evatasya bande guru sri charanaravindam. In the beginning of guru conception, saying Sakshad hari, directly Krishna. He says, but kintu prabhu priya. But if we look more with greater scrutiny, examine more closely, more carefully, look more deeply, we'll see a shift takes place. That the guru conception shifts from Krishna to Krishna's potency. Right? The devotee of Krishna, and the greatest devotee of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. So we see guru as Radharani's delegation. So when we're told Shiva and his consort Parvati, one day she asked him a question. Shiva is her lord, and she's saying, my lord, what is the highest type of worship? And Shiva answers by saying, Aradhananam Sarvesham, of all types of Aradhana, worship, Vishnu Aradhanam is Param. It's the highest, it's the best. And she's thinking, it gave a little pain in her heart. She's thinking, but you are my Lord, I'm worshiping you. You're telling me the higher worship is the worship of Vishnu. And he says, Tasmat parataram Devi, my dear Devi, but Tadiyanam samarchanam. Higher though than that worship is what is most dear to Krishna, who Krishna loves. That's higher type of, if you'll worship that. And Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur, they all use this one example. Because we're hearing the dog crying for the last day. And the example was, if you love me, love my dog. It means, if you really have love and affection for me, then the things that are dear to me, you'll also find dear. But if you're professing so much love and affection, but what is dear to me, you're dismissing or abusing, well, then what kind of love is that? No, it's not real. Same thing with Krishna. And the real test, as Guru Maharaj said, how much affection, love and affection you have for the devotee. And he says in the voice of Krishna, Krishna's saying, I am more or less an abstract thing. Right? We find it so difficult to conceive the personality of Godhead, to get our heads around that. the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality of Godhead. But Guru, Krishna's devotee, and Gurudev, as Guru once said, the king of the sadhus. We're always told, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi lava matra sadhu sanghe sarva siddhi hoy. But the king of the sadhus is Guru. So, and he is someone we can deal with, interact with. Guru wanted to say, Krishna is dealing with so many, but Guru is dealing with me. Gurudev is dealing with me personally. So, and it's mentioned, and it's out of inconceivable kindness and mercy that Krishna comes before us as Guru, the best of the devotees. Right. Mukunda Preshta, again, and the Acharya is saying, who's most dear to Krishna is where we are to give our attention. Right? So we're taking Guru as Radharani's delegation. So this principle, we're told, is the signifier of the progressive devotional position to understand the position of the devotee and the worship of the devotee. Kaviraj Goswami, his relative brother-in-law, whatever, he's worshiping the deity, the devotee comes, in the name, I'm worshiping the deity, he neglects the devotee. And Kaviraj Goswami is chastising him. He said, really, what you should have done is, with the permission of the deity, worship the devotee. That will please Krishna. Right? Mad bhakta puja abhyadika. The worship of my devotee takes precedence over the worship of myself. Krishna tells this to Uddhava in his parting instructions before he leaves the world. Mad bhakta, my devotee, puja abhyadika. You worship the devotee first, then me. And another place, tasmai deyam tatograjam satcha pujo yata yaham. Saying, whatever applies to me, applies to my devotees. Apply it without hesitation. So, when we're here to try and worship the devotee of the Lord, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, why is he so exalted amongst all the devotees and revered and praised, as Guru Maharaj wrote in the Sutta, Gurva Bhishta Suparagam? Not only did he fulfill every desire of Srila Guru Maharaj, including taking the post of the acharya of Chaitanya Saraswat Maharaj, says, but Ashisha, the Guru Gana, Guru Ganai, Ashisha Sambhushitam, all the other godbrothers of Guru Maharaj, who are in the Guru Varga, the Guru section, they also gave their blessings to him because of his extraordinary seva, exclusive service to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, and using every drop of blood and his energy and his intelligence to do that seva. So he had their blessings too, including Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada saying very affectionately when he invited Gurudev and Guru Maharaj to Mayapur for the inauguration of the Chandradoya Mandir, and he said, Srila Sridhar Maharaj I accept as my Shiksha Guru, and Govinda Maharaj is like my affectionate son. Right. So, the godbrothers, they saw that sometimes things they were unable to do with their resources, their experience, their men, their money and all that, that type of seva Srila Govinda Maharaj could do for Srila Guru Maharaj, they said, by using his intelligence. He did not have all of their resources, but he had a finer intelligence. How fine? He always knows the inner aspect of something. Right? that's not visible to everyone else. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, we're devotees of the invisible. Doesn't mean it cannot be seen. It's not seen by everybody, but those whose vision is higher and deeper. So that, just some examples, and if you don't know all the players, and that's okay, but just to hear that, like once, the famous Goswami Maharaj of Gaudiya Math, there's a picture of Saraswati Thakur with the governor of West Bengal. And this Goswami Maharaj arranges this. And Saraswati Thakur has a garland, the governor of Bengal has a garland, but Goswami Maharaj doesn't have a garland. But there's the famous picture. And Govinda Maharaj is just a young boy. And and he told him, he said, I know why you're not wearing a garland. And Goswami Maharaj said, what? He said, I know why in this picture you're not wearing a garland, when you should be. Because the system would give all the dignitary persons, but you're not. And he's saying, why? Guru Maharaj, Saraswati, he has his garland, the governor has a garland, everything's fine. No, no, but you should also have a garland. But the reason is because who's bringing the garlands? That man was late. And there are only two. So you gave your garland to the governor of Bengal. And that's why you're without a garland, that man can. And he said, at that, Goswami said, you have crossed Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Meaning, Vishwanath, his specialty is these deep level interpretations of very seemingly insignificant things in Krishna Leela. So that's a very high compliment. He said, you have crossed Vishwanath. And he told another time, that Goswami Maharaj, sometimes God brothers have some differences. So he's speaking in some assembly, but Guru Maharaj said, speaking sarcastically about another Maharaj, but not everyone can understand that. But that Maharaj who knows that what he's saying is sarcastic, he said, he's looking at Govinda Maharaj, even though, because he knows, he wants to see, does he understand the sarcasm? And of course, Gurudev did. So always, he has some extraordinary ability. And I remember once in London, and his sense of humor. Everyone know, you can't think of Govinda Maharaj without a sense of humor. Some funny things, but they're like, they teach you spiritual principles. It's funny, but there's a spiritual principle within the humor. So Prabhupada said of him, you're a transcendental humorist, because you know how to make something funny, like people, they don't want to hear philosophy, but you tell something that's funny, but there's an underlying spiritual principle there. But I remember in London, him preparing to leave, go on a world tour somewhere, And he was reflecting back to his childhood in Bamanpar. And we should understand, that's the modern way they say the name of this town. But really it means Brahmanpur, city of Brahmins. Everyone there is a Brahmin. Historically, that's where he is born. So he's Brahmin by birth to the extreme. But sort of like not asserting his Brahminical tendencies all the time, suppressing them a little bit. But anyway, he said he's very happy there. Most people will say about their spiritual path, they'll describe how they were suffering in the world and couldn't live another day, and this happened and that, and a horrible, and that brings them to Krishna consciousness, right? Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukriti norjana. Krishna tells us, Arjuna, four types of people. Economically distressed, just distressed, curious, he's saying four types, sukriti, will take shelter. But Gurudev, he didn't say that. He said, I was very happy living in the village life. I loved everyone, they loved me. He said, I loved the animals, the cows, they also loved me. said, even the rickshaw wallahs, they loved me. And we know they don't like anybody. So he's saying, everybody loved me, I love. And he said, then this man came preaching on behalf of Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. He said, talking this nonsense, your mother is nothing, your father is nothing, this world is nothing, you'll have to give it up, we all have to die, you have to leave here. But he said it like this, talking this nonsense. What is that nonsense? Like spiritual philosophy. And he said, but that struck my heart. And I thought, even as happy as I am in my village life, what he's saying, I can't deny that it's not true. And it affected me. It went into his heart. So then he, in classic style, that man said to him, like, he could see, oh, this boy is affected by what I'm saying. Maybe I should take him back to the mat. And Gurudev, in his classic way, said, I'll go, but we have to go, like, tomorrow, immediately. So the man said, all right, well, then they ended up swimming in the Ganga to, like, cross the Ganga, go to the mat. And they got to the mat, and that's when Guru Maharaj meets him, and he said, Guru Maharaj said to him about spiritual life, he said, are you ready to listen to me and not your own mind? Sounds really simple. And Gurudev, who's very honest, he said, I was 17. What did I know? I said, yes. He said, I didn't know how difficult that could be. So, but I said, yes, I'm ready to listen to you and follow everything you say and not my mind. That's what is Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, Arjun, you want to follow your own mind or listen to me? If you're going to follow your own mind, we don't even need to have a discussion. But if you're ready to give up or try and fight that uncontrollable mind, then I can help you. And Arjuna says, Sishas mam, Sishas teham sarimam tvam prapannam. Now I want to be your disciple. Please instruct me. Tell me what to do. And Guru Maharaj said, but how long you'll stay? And Gurudev was offended. He said, if I say I'm, this forever, not how, but Guru Maharaj is testing him. How long? What? No, if I join, it's forever. Forever I'm yours. Right. That's Tattvamasi, the mantra. But his family didn't like this idea. Sometimes Guru Maharaj says, what do we learn from Prahlad Maharaj? This is one of the things we learned many things, but one of them, he said, we learned from the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj that if you are going to dedicate yourself to Krishna consciousness, prepare yourself for a life of trouble. And that your family, they're going to object. So what happened? His mother showed up with so many people from the village to try and take him back. Because Gurudev had this complex relationship with his mother, we can say. So she came with the whole village. They want to take him back. And in India, the windows, they're old. They have bars on the window, metal bars. And so Gurudev's holding on to the bars and they're trying to take him. And then one man who was called the Vedanta Pandit, he came and said, don't force the boy. This is not good. And then they brought the case to Guru Maharaj. And he said, if he wants to go, he can go. But let him decide that. And the old wise man said, don't force him. That's not the right way. And so, of course, he stayed. And what his mother was unhappy about, other than what's obvious, is before Gurudev was born, near where they live, there's another town, what's it called? Jamalpur. We have the Buru Raj Shiva deity. And she prayed to Shiva for a son. And she got some inspiration from Shiva that, all right, son, you'll have a son. But your son will, when he's 17, take sannyas, give up the world. But it's one of the customs, kind of like a degraded custom in Bengal, is the so-called Shiva sannyas. So she's thinking, it's Shiva sannyas, oh, Shiva sannyas. And what Shiva sannyas is, it's a bogus custom in modern day Bengal, where boys, they take sannyas for like 2 weeks or a month. So she's thinking, oh, okay, when he's 17, that's what he'll do. Not that he'll go permanently give up the world and go to Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. And Guru Maharaj said, in discussing this, he said, and I'm thinking, when Shiva agreed and gave to give a son, maybe he sent one of his own men, a Parshada, his associate. He said, because I see in him some mystic power, siddhi, mystic power, and different evidence of that. And his special affinity for Shiva is that Guru Maharaj is suffering from heart disease and other conditions. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, he only lives for Guru Maharaj. He has no other reason to live. So he's always thinking of Guru Maharaj, the service of Guru Maharaj, and it's paining his heart to see Guru Maharaj suffering his physical condition. So he's bathing and praying to Shiva to reveal to him some medicine for Guru Maharaj. He's just praying earnestly. And he hears like a mantra inside, Kalifas. He hears Kalifas. And up to that point, he's saying, he's not heard these words. And he went around like, is there some medicine called Kalifas? He's running around. Then someone says, oh, yes, homeopathic, they have something like that. And then he goes and gets this medicine. And it's a little more complicated than that, but in summary form, I'm telling. And he gives this medicine, and it saves Guru Maharaj's life. It's the perfect medicine for Guru Maharaj. And if you hear the lectures of Guru Maharaj speaking, you'll hear most often Rama Didi, Guru Maharaj's sister. She comes in the middle of a talk, and you hear her go, false. She would extend her hand with this little shot glass with some Kalifas in it. Guru Maharaj drinks that. But that saved him his life. He attributed that to Gurudev's sincerity and some sort of mystic power that he has. Another godbrother, Keshava Maharaj, said, called Satyabhak, that whatever he will say, it will come true. If he says something, it must come true. And so many devotees, his disciples, followers, and friends have some example like that, of something maybe a little enigmatically or mysteriously that Srila Gurudev said that mysteriously came true. No. Always the emissary of Srila Guru Maharaj, eager to do any service for the mat, he would go to villages for festivals, like to collect rice. That you can go to the village and the local, they'll give something, and they like it's for Giriraj, for the deity, for Krishna. But you know, village boys can be very naughty also. So sometimes they see devotees coming, And he went to one village, and the village boys came and said, "You'll get nothing here. You're wasting your time. Go back to where you came from." But you have to understand, this will tell you who Gurudev is. Gurudev turned to them and said, "I will leave with a bullock cart full of rice." He doesn't know any, he's just entering them. They say, "You will get nothing." He said, "I'm going to leave here with a truckload of rice. You wait and see." Then he goes preaching, and they're thinking, because they know the man who's in charge of this village, he's a miser. If we go to him, he'll give you like 100 grams of rice. We'll see. And then later, they see at the end of the day, Govindamar is leaving with his party, big bullock cart, like truckload of rice, and they're like, "What?" And they go to that man, who's the miser, head of the village. They go, "What are you doing? You won't give us anything, and you're giving him so much." And he said, "Oh, you don't know. He gave me so much love and affection." He said, "He filled my heart with supernatural joy." He said, "I would give him more if he asked for it." But that's all he asked for. And Gurudev, with his head held high, leaving the village, and seva to Guru Maharaj, and the mat, and the deities. And so, so we had the full recognition of Srila Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj told me, in the final times, to saying that, he said, in many ways, he's more qualified than even myself. And he said, because Guru Maharaj was the center of everything and Govindamar is always in the background doing the seva, he said, if you will become more deep, to me, but to everyone, if you'll become more deeply acquainted with him, you'll find very deep Krishna conscious substance with him. He is always in the background arranging the seva of Guru Maharaj, the deities, and the mat. So much so that some devotees, they're unaware of that. Right? When he went to Mayapur once, the Prabhupada's servitors, they said, "You know, Prabhupada's resting right now, you have to wait." And Gurudev said, "I felt like Brahma visiting Krishna in Dwaraka, where like the famous, when Brahma goes to see Krishna in Dwaraka, what are we told? The secretary of Krishna comes out and says, you know, Krishna is busy right now, so you have to wait. And Krishna wants to know also, which Brahma are you?" He's saying, "Which Brahma? I'm four-headed Brahma. I'm the creator of the universe." "Oh, okay." And he goes back. And then later when Brahma is seeing Krishna, Krishna says, "Oh, Brahma, I could not receive you before." And Brahma says, "I have one question. Before we talk, the secretary said, which Brahma? Are there other ones besides me?" And Krishna summons all the Brahmas from the innumerable universes. So not only four heads, eight heads, 16, 32, 64, a gig of heads, all the Brahmas come. And that Brahma, our Brahma with four heads, he said, "I felt like a little insect in the presence of so many elephants." Right? So Gurudev said, when he, always praising them, he goes, "So when I went to Mayapur and they told me to wait," and he said, "and these big GBC members going here," he said, "I felt like Brahma visiting Krishna and Dwaraka." But when Prabhupada awoke and saw him waiting, he said, chastised the devotees for making him wait, saying, "If he comes, you always bring him to me." So, and at that famous opening of the Chandradoya Mandir in Mayapur, Guru Maharaj was not feeling so well that day, but he spoke something, and very beautifully. And Gurudev, Srila Govindamar, he was not expecting to speak. saying it. Guru Maharaj is invited, he'll speak, Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada will speak. But then Prabhupada asked him to speak, and Guru Maharaj, they said yes. And he didn't know what he was going to say, and he got some inspiration in his heart, and he quoted this famous sloka of Raghupati Upadhyay in his meeting with Mahaprabhu. Kam prati katayitam ise samprati pratitam ayatu. Tanaya kunje gopa viduti vitam brahma. Gopa tanaya kunje gopa viduti vitam brahma. Vitam brahma. When he quoted this sloka, and before he began his explanation, Guru Maharaj said, Krishna's Babaji Maharaj was there on the side, and as soon as he heard, Kam prati katayitami se, because he knows what the sloka means, he said, Krishna's Babaji Maharaj went, Hare Krishna! You know, like, this is like too perfect. This is unbelievably perfect thing. Who could think to say this at this time? And he had told Guru Maharaj before, this Gaurindu Brahmachari, his Brahmachari name, he said, you mark him. He said, he is more than like many mystic yogis in one. He's very special. So Babaji Maharaj was a big fan of Gurudev from the very beginning. He's telling Guru Maharaj, this is the one. But so Gurudev, when he began this explanation, it's Raghupati Upadhyay telling Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu wants to know what's like the highest thing to understand, he says, who can I tell and who would believe me? That's the beginning of his explanation. Who can I tell this to? And if I could find somebody who was really qualified to hear it, would they believe me? And he's saying that the Supreme Reality, Krishna, what is he doing? He's hunting the gopi girls in Vrindavan. Who's qualified to hear this? And if you could find somebody, would they believe it? But Guru Maharaj says, the hint is now, but now that you're here, Mahaprabhu, the world will hear about Krishna conception. You'll qualify everyone with your Mahavananaya, merciful distribution. Divine dispensation, giving everyone entrance into this, and they'll believe it. But what Gurudev did, we want a living interpretation. He took this sloka and applied it to Srila Prabhupada, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, saying, why is he saying this? Like, who can I tell, who will believe me, is that we sat, when I was 17, I sat in his kitchen as a young brahmachari, and we would eat breakfast together, and Prabhupada would say to him, Prabhupada's breakfast was like puris and sabji. That's a Prabhupada breakfast. Alu bhaja, alu dum, some puri, and some hot puris. And he would say to Gurudev, Gaurindu, here, have some puris and sabji. And Srila Govinda Maharaj would say, no, I will take muri, which is puffed rice. That's what he would eat from his village days. And Prabhupada would say, that muri, that is cheating the stomach. Like, that's not real food. So he's saying, that we sat there and this had this loving exchange. He loved me like his son. And that person spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Who can I tell? Right? And who would believe me? So to have that sort of command, that like that sort of thing just springs out of his heart, gives us a hint, just a hint. As I told, we hear the kokils, they've returned here, and the tree, that in Navadvip, Gurudev sang, we're listening to kokils, one singing, the other singing. He said, oh, they're competing for the affection of a female. And he said, I remember that sound in my village days? He said, we had no watch, we had no clock. We told what time it is by looking at the sky. By looking at the sky, the stars, and the sounds of the birds. There's the rooster, but the other birds can tell you time of year, season, many things. He said, that's how we understood things. So he's thinking like that. That's the world we see and hear before our eyes. But it's bringing about some divine remembrance of him, within him. He said, Rupa Goswami, in his, maybe, Stavamala Padyavali, his sloka collection, he's saying, has one verse where he says, Radharani, she's seen to be taking, she's hearing the sound of the kokil, which we're generally told is something very sweet, liquid sweetness, reminiscent of the liquid sweetness of the voice of Krishna. So we think this should make all devotees happy. But she is not happy. And rather, what is she doing? She's going, Jaimini, Jaimini. She's chanting the name of Jaimini Rishi. Why? This is peculiar and bewildering. The sweet sound of the kokil is coming, and she's Jaimini. She's praying for protection. Why? That is their custom that if there's thunder and lightning, if you take the name of Jaimini Rishi, you won't be struck by a thunderbolt. But there's no thunder. It's not raining. There's no thunder and lightning. Why is she taking the name of Jaimini? He said, because the sweet sound of the kokil, which is reminiscent of the voice of Krishna, in separation, it's striking her heart like a thunderbolt. So this gives us a hint of the sort of ecstatic, emotional interior of Srila Gurudev, but he's concealing that position. He's mercifully, affectionately dealing with his friends, telling that one of them, to error is human, and he's very human. Another man, they'll call him on the phone, what is that man's name from Venezuela? Srinivas? Doesn't speak a word of English. They call Gurudev on the phone, talk to him for 10 minutes in Spanish. And Gurudev going, yes, Prabhu, Krishna bless you. And that man is ecstatic and happy. And Gurudev said, heart-to-heart transaction. I don't know what he's saying. He said, but we're connecting. Our hearts are connecting. And I'm happy and he's happy. And always doing that. That was his, we see it like the personification of love and affection. So love can conceal all of our defects. That's the beauty of love. Right? They like to Photoshop away all the defects. Right? Love is the ultimate Photoshop, right? Of the heart and fault. All of our fault, love doesn't see them. Padma Lochan, we're told the lady, her child is blind. And what does she name the child? Padma Lochan. Means lotus eyes. And everyone thinks she's crazy. Say, lady, your child is blind. No, yes, it's beautiful lotus eyes. Don't you see how beautiful those eyes are? Oh, no, I can't see with those eyes. But they're so beautiful. So love conceals all deficiency, all defect. Gurudev, that's what he personified. He has so many deep level Krishna consciousness inside of him. He's not here to make a show, to make people think how deep he is. He's this type of Vaishnava. Never. That is his own matter. But just dealing with everyone else on this plane with love and affection, compensating all their deficiencies. One of the last things that he said, thematically, he said, you know, everyone has some fault, big or small. He said, that is not the question. Whether someone has a big fault, someone has a little fault. He said, that's not the question. He said, but someone who has devotional spirit fully, he said, that we recognize and must respect. And that's what others, the God brothers of Guru Maharaj, saw in him, everyone saw in him, that they could not deny this pure devotion. So when he, Guru Maharaj, wanted him to take the position of the acharya of the math, Gurudev, he said, what did he say to Guru Maharaj? He said, I am your goat. And we could say, in Bengal, you don't want to be somebody's goat. Because goats means they go for the slaughter. He told the Guru Maharaj, I am your goat. He said, if it makes you happy to cut off my tail, you can do that. If that gives you pleasure, you want to cut off my tail and it makes you happy? Okay. Or if you want to slit my throat, whatever you want to do, I belong to you. That, Jiva Goswami says, is surrender. Like a soul, when someone buys an animal and they take it away. That's how he offered himself to Guru Maharaj, unconditionally. Not, well, up to this point or that point, or no, unconditional surrender. Giving yourself over. We can talk about it, we can praise him for that. We don't say that we have that ever, but he has that. That's why one of the reasons, one of the thousands of reasons that he's our worshipable Gurudev, and why Srila Guru Maharaj had full faith and confidence in his representation of the Rupa Nuga line. And even in the Pranam Mantra, one of Gurudev's, one of his favorite lines there is about the Tanum and Bhakti Sundar. The Sundar Tanum means, and what you could say means beautiful form, that he also looks beautiful, but Gurudev would say, and looking very nice. About himself. And looking very nice. That was in the verse too. Because someone said, enriched with devotional qualities. Yes, yes, all of those things. And Gurudev, and looking very nice. As Pundarik Vidyaniti appreciated his own devotional beauty.